take your songbooks. First of all, turn to page number 68. We are here to bless the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Page number 68.
In majesty and free, who gave his son for men to die, that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angels host adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of men, once ruined by the fall, thou hast devised salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Oh, blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen, that sounds good. Page number 151, little as much when God is in it. Brother Joe was telling, we were talking about Dallas today, little Dallas, not Texas, Wisconsin. How many pastors have came out of that church? 38 pastors. So little is much when God is in it.
In the harvest field not ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you come to labor seem so small? And our race on earth is run. He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
You may be seated. Two.
the fire in my soul. Fan the flame and make me whole. Lord, you know just where I've been. So light the fire in my heart again. I stand.
Capital letters, that means you shout it out. Okay, so the last line, you sing with all your heart. Maybe we'll sing that last line two or three times. Whatever, okay?
I stand to praise you, but I fall on my knees. My spirit is hungry, but my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame and make me whole. Lord, you know just where I've been. So light the fire in my heart.
Speak to your heart tonight. Whatever your need might be, reach out to Jesus. Reach out and touch the Lord tonight as he passes by. Hallelujah. You'll find he's not too busy, as the song says, to hear your heart's cry. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you are here, that you are present, you are Emmanuel, you are God.
Our God.
One more time. I have a request tonight for myself. I think this is becoming my favorite song. Page 535. We need the tambourine for this one, brother. 535.
Thank you.
fast, that fast, we'll all be changed. We'll be transported from Amen. This place to glory.
Amen.
We have guilt. Can you work out one more? We got another request. We have a request, and we'll turn it over to our speaker after this song.
Hallelujah.
We've been given a pianist to work on tonight, so I thought I better ask.
She's sweating. Turn the AC Brother Rostowski, I believe we are ready to hear from the Lord tonight. So God bless you, and may the Lord work through you as you lay out for us what God has laid upon your heart. It's been a fun afternoon getting to know them, the Rostowskis. Even though the Packers lost, we had a pretty good afternoon.
Praise God. Yes, indeed we did. I was preaching in Ripon about a year and a half ago at that championship game when Green Bay was playing against the 49ers. And it was, I think they were down to the last 2 minutes. I was speaking that night in church, and we had all the young men over at one of the brothers' houses. And some of the girls, I guess, were over there too, because some of the guys were over there. And we were just watching a game, and I looked back and said, man, Pastor Don is going to have my head up. I don't hear him get down to the church. I took one of the young guys and said, don't worry, they wrapped up the game. Let's get in the car and go. So me and him was traveling down. I turned on the radio, and at that time, it was one of those fantastic finishes where the 49ers threw a pass, and some way, somehow, the Packers, three guys there, and the 49ers got that ball and knocked Green Bay out. I never forget, my son was home from leave. All these dejected Packer fans walked in about 15 or 20 minutes later, stone cold faces on them. And I got up and I said, if you guys stink, I'm going to preach to you. Forget it. I says, Jesus could be here tonight, and let's shake it off. Let's get rid of it. That's what we have to do with this world, don't we? It's a game. That's all it is. I didn't win nothing out of it, did you? And if you're gambling, we're going to tell the preacher on you. So we'll have a prayer line just for that later on. But all it is a game. Those guys get paid pretty well to win or lose. How many like to make what they make? Just think what you could do for the gospel, amen? But what a joy it's been to have been your pastor and his wife and family. We had a great time of fellowship, taking a ride around the town and the area this afternoon and just sharing with each other some of our quirks, I guess, that we were dealing with and ministry of past when I was pastoring and different things that have happened. I'll tell you, this brother is a great man. And I'll tell you one more thing. I had a pastor come years ago when I was pastoring a church, and he came up and was preaching and where I was pastoring on. He told the people right out, he says, I'm here to take this pastor from you. I said, you're going to have my head, or I'm going to have yours. You know, the board gave me a raise the next week. Oh, glory to God. So I just want to tell you, anytime that you don't like this pastor, I know there's a lot of good churches in the state of Wisconsin that's open, and I'd give his name over immediately to any one of those deacon boards. So, see that? Well, I'd like to hear that. Love your pastor. Gloria and I could have taken at least 3 to 4 churches since we've been in the evangelistic ministry. I said, no, that's not my calling now. But it's tempting. I will say that. It is tempting. But God has the right pastor for the right time, and he's here, and you're enjoying him and their ministry here in Wilson. It's so important to love the pastor. Because when you show respect for God's man, God honors that. And he blesses the congregation so faithful. Amen. Amen. I believe I'll sing a song before we preach tonight. Before I get into the Word of God. Well, we got 3 glasses of water here again. That's wonderful. Sometimes I wonder if I should go behind curtain 1, 2, or 3. I'll try this one down here. Elmer Cole wrote a song years ago that has a lot to do with a lot of us here. Because one of these days, folks, as we sang about it, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be with the one that we preached about, taught Sunday school about, learned about, witnessed for all our Christian lives. Last year, in the month of June, my wife and I rushed back to Pennsylvania to see my mother. And my mother served the Lord for many years. My dad had been gone now for 4 years. And now I got a call from my sisters that mother is not as good as she expected to be. So I came back being the only son and having 3 sisters. I came back to Pennsylvania to see mother. And as I was with my mother for that 10-day period, oh, what a joy we had to be with her. But as I was driving away, as we always did, we always had a time of holding hands in prayer before I left, and I prayed for my mother and asked God to be with her. And as I gave her a kiss goodbye, jumped in our car, drove up a block and took a left on the street corner, and as I looked back to see her walking, her little frame body, as she was going back up to her steps, she gave me a wave. And the Lord said, you'll never see her alive again. And it happened. Not even a month later, I was standing by her casket, looking at my mother, who had gone to glory, who was the one that led my father and me, my sisters, to Jesus. And now she's in the presence of the Lord. No, I didn't regret it. I didn't shed a lot of tears because I was happy for her. But we miss people because we are the ones who feel we've lost something when they gained everything. And someday we will see. I'll see mom and dad again. I'll see my father-in-law who I buried a number of years ago. But folks, We're all going to be in the presence of Jesus forever. I want to sing this song tonight, 10,000 Years. Oh yeah, this has some country flavor to it. I wish somebody would have brought his banjo tonight to play right along, but he didn't feel like doing it. Soon I'll come to the end of my journey, and I'll meet the one who gave his life for me. I will thank him for his life that he gave me, and 10,000 years or more I'll reign with him. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years just begun. Now the battle's over. Aren't you glad for that? And the victory's been won. 10,000 years, and we just begun. It's gonna be great, isn't it? To be with Jesus forever? Oh, it's just begun. Praise God. Listen to this next verse. We will just begin to sing love's sweet story. That's the song that the angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed by the blood of my Savior. And 10,000 years or more I'll praise his name. Sing it if you want to with me tonight. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years, yes. Oh, we'll just be gone. Well, the battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we'll just be gone. 10,000 years and we've just begun. Oh, hallelujah. 10,000 years. And we've just begun. Oh, it's not even, we can't hardly comprehend that, can we? 10,000 years. And then times that by 10,000 and times that by a zillion. And that's where we're going to just be started, in the presence of Jesus. It's more than our little finite minds can comprehend, but it will be reality when we're with the Lord one day forever. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I love this epistle by the Apostle Paul, for it has so much flavor and teaching, especially about the Holy Spirit. And that's something that a lot of churches literally take this out of the Bible and throw it aside and say, that was for the apostles and the disciples, and that's where it ends. And I'm here to tell you tonight, that's not where it ends, amen? That's where it begins. By the way, when you sing songs like we've sung tonight, it takes probably my wife and I back to the years ago when we pastored. I'll be very honest with you, folks. These songs that you have sung this morning and some of them tonight, we don't hear that often. It's almost a lost art to almost pick up a hymnal in churches. It's almost something it's not even heard of. Many churches don't even have hymnals in their pews. And it's almost a lost art. It's sad to say. I feel sorry for a lot of the generation, from my son and daughter's generation to perhaps till Jesus tarries. They have missed a lot of the meat in a lot of the hymns. These young people are hearing a lot of the songs that have a lot of the meat and theology in it that we believe. But when you don't sing, when you only sing songs, happy songs and victory songs, that doesn't always tell it like it is, does it? There's a lot of times you go through sorrow and you weep tears. And you know, you need to know that your faith is in God. And you're just not jumping around and whooping and hollering just because you think he's going to hear you any more better, because he's not going to. He's going to allow you to go through some things. So when you sing hymns like that, enjoy it, because it's certainly meat to your soul. Now in 1 Corinthians, I want us to read these verses tonight with me. And look at it very carefully, because we're going to be talking about this in the next few minutes. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Let's thank God right now, and I want you to stand with me as we make a proclamation tonight. I want you to tell the Lord and the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, I'm open tonight to receive whatever you have for me. Say it. I believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for me. And you can use me, Lord, as a vessel. Because I want to see Jesus glorified. And the church go forward in victory. Because of who you are. And we praise you for it. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, how do we get this out of here? I know our brother said, I'm going to let our brother do that. Here, brother, you come over here and take that right. There we go. How's that? There, oh, that's fine. A number of years ago, my wife and I went to a particular church in this state to look over the possibility of pastoring this church. As I came to that city, it was a nice city. They had a nice little building there. Seemed to me like that church had a lot to offer. After the morning service, they had a fellowship in the basement of the church to get to know my wife and I. As I was standing there in the line greeting people, a woman in that church, whose husband I believe was on the board, came up to me and asked me a strange question. And here's what she said. She says, brother, do you have the gifts of the Spirit working in your life? And I said, I believe I certainly do. She says, do you have all nine of them working in your life? And I said, whoa, wait a minute. All nine of them, huh? And I looked at her. I didn't know what else to say. I said, I probably don't. How about you? Do you? And she got red on her face and got a little upset and left me. Well, that afternoon, my wife and I went back to the place where they had put us up. And we were talking and thinking things over, and I thought, I better call my dad. I called my dad out in Pennsylvania. I told him the situation. I said, the church seems to be a nice. He was asking me, he said, well, son, he said, do you really want a pastor there? What do you feel? Does God opening the doors? And I said, I really can't say, Dad, about it. And I said, if this is where it is, it'll all work out. I said, I've got a question mark in my mind, but I want you and Mom to pray for me tonight. Go to church, have the pastor pray. I said, this is God's will. And we hung up, and I said, I'll call you tomorrow. Well, anyway, I hung up, and I was talking to my wife. I said, look at this. This town has a Pizza Hut, a McDonald's, and I was going down all the lists. I was trying to convince her because we were coming from a town that had nothing. And I said to her, look at all these great things they have in this town. The high school is right across the street from the church. I said, could you imagine the influx we can see of young people there? And I was trying to convince this woman that this was the greatest place that ever would probably happen to me in my life. And she looked at me and she says, already, I want to tell you something, honey. The Lord spoke to me and it's no. And I said, let's think this through. I said, this can't be. You're actually, nope, I don't want to come here. Well, you know, I was teasing Pastor before. I said, Lord, you come to town, you bring at least a few of your polished up sermons. You hope you have some, at least in your files somewhere. And after that, she says, no, I'm coming here. I guess you'll have to come here. We'll have an agreement marriage. I'll be on this side of the state. You pastor here. No, I'm just kidding you. And I told her, I said, okay, Lord. I said, since she isn't coming, out goes plan A. And I zipped out this sermon. I said, I'm going with this one tonight. And I tell you, I preach, I thought, the barn burner of all. I blazed that congregation. I mean, I blasted everybody in that place. And they loved it. I thought, man, I mean, this place went wild. They literally loved it. I says, man, I bet you they'll hang me before I even leave here. But instead, that night, one of the deacons said, he said, man, that was wonderful. We just enjoyed that preach tonight. Huh? I said, is this guy for real? I said, fella, I just knocked your head against the wall. Are you listening? I said, man, they contacted the superintendent and says, we elected Joe Brustowski 100%, and I had to tell the superintendent that I wasn't going there, and we had problems. He said, are you sure you're hearing from God, Joe? I said, I believe I am. Well, he says, I want you to know something. I asked him about this other church in the state that was open. And he says, you'll never get a chance at that church. I said, well, why is that? He said, they're sick of preachers that are younger than 40. And I was much younger than that. And he said, I can't even give your name. Baloney, I thought. I said, I was at Spencer Lake Bible Camp, and I saw a presbyter come across the campgrounds, and he saw me. He says, Joy, did you accept the church yet? I said, no. He says, I've got the church for you. And he said, well, what is it? And he told me it was that church that the superintendent says, you're not going to even get a chance to even drive in that town to look at it. He says, come on with me. My son's on the board. He made one phone call, talked to his son. He talked to the head deacon. In 15 minutes, my name was over at the loudspeakers at Spencer Lake to come to the office immediately and contact the head deacon. And all within 36 hours, I was at that church preaching there. And soon as my wife and I drove up in front of the church, we both looked at it. And before ever signing, I said, this is where we'll be pastoring. That night, immediately after the service, they voted us in 100%, and we accepted it right on the spot. You say, how did you know that you were supposed to be in that church instead of going to the other church? Folks, you have to know the leading of the Lord and discernment of the Spirit. And I had to have a word from God. Now, you just can't do things in yourself, because I believe I could have still pastored that other church. And it probably would have been all right. Maybe they would have hung me. I don't know. But I feel in my heart that when we went to the church where we went to, that church, we were fit right in together. In fact, I will say this, because of my youthness of that time, I left that church long before I ever should have, because I was itchy for other places. In fact, the superintendent took me aside and he said, I want you to realize something. You can't be doing this. Doing what? He said, you're resigning the church 3 years and now you're into another one and you're going here. He says, I just can't work like this. He said, you're lucky you married your wife because the superintendent used to be her pastor. Or he said, brother, you'll be out of here. Well, guess what? I was out of here. I had to go to North Dakota, pastor them. I took a church up there. It was a great church. But I had to come back to Wisconsin in what? Under 3 years. You say, what is going on there? What is happening? If you do not know the voice of God in particular circumstances of your life, and I've learned this through years of experience, you will get yourself in a tight jam. How many here believes that? How many's ever been in a tight jam? You all be honest with me. You all have to say yes. Because somewhere down the line, you have to make some valuable, updated decisions. And you're going to need something from the Lord. You're going to need something supernatural to pull you through. So in the weak times, the strenuous times, the hard times, you can go back to God and say, Lord, I'm only here because I remember the day you called me or you sent me here. Or I'm doing this because, Lord, you are the one who opened the door. And if it's not God, and if it's not the Lord who's leading you, please do not try to bust open the doors, because it won't work. You have to remember the Lord will lead and guide you as you submit to His will. Can you say amen to that? I'm going to give you some practical teaching tonight, because folks, there is a lot of churches who do not know nothing much about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You'd be surprised in churches where I attend, where even congregations would almost look at you and say, what are you talking about? And I would say, think to myself, what have you been listening to? Or what teaching have you learned? We as a Pentecostal full gospel fellowship stand on the Word of God. Amen? So how many here believe the gifts are for today? Can you say praise the Lord? Yes. Well, I know your pastor believes it and teaches it. I know he does. But we have a lot of people and a lot of churches that, look, I was talking in one church and I was using the phrase, I wasn't using the phrase, we are assemblies of God. I was using the phrase Pentecostal. And you know, this church was big enough where my wife was sitting with a lot of people around her. And one leaned over to the other next to her and says, what is he talking about, a Pentecostal church? It was like, hello, you're in one, I hope. This is a marked church, amen? Now, if you ever did change the name to some other, some of these denominations are, and Assemblies of God are changing their names. They're getting the name Assembly of God. They're putting other names up there. That's fine if they want it. But guess what? Sooner or later, people are going to come through the doors. And what are they going to hear? This is a Pentecostal church that preaches Pentecostal doctrines. And if it's not, then we better pull out from the Assemblies of God completely and say that we are X now. We are another denomination or a church. And I would have to say this. There was a group, there was two pastors in southeast Wisconsin, and they had a great ministry. One was preaching in a certain town down there, pastoring a Pen Assembly of God church. Another one was an evangelist. These two guys joined up together. They handed back their credentials, and now they pastor a church that has almost a Baptist doctrine as their guide anymore. You say, is that right? Well, people are been saved and have been led to that church. But what about Pentecost? No, they no longer can preach Pentecostal messages in that church. Folks, are we going to believe the Word of God and proclaim its full gospel? And if we're not, why aren't we? I'm going to give you some reasons tonight what the Apostle Paul gives for instructions. Because if we don't let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into this area, we could get ourselves in a much heated discussion with the Lord somewhere down the line. Just like the couple was having a heated discussion regarding the family finances. Oh, excuse me.
Finally, the wife exploded and said, if it weren't for my money, this television set wouldn't be here. If it weren't for my money, that easy chair that you're sitting in wouldn't be here. In fact, if it weren't for my money, she said to her husband, this house wouldn't be here. Are you kidding? Her husband snorted. If it weren't for your money, I wouldn't be here. If it weren't for the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you and I wouldn't be here. Because this church and our fellowship has been grounded on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. This is something I heard preached ever since I was a boy. And even though for a number of years I was an RPK, now you say, oh, you were a preacher's kid. No, I wasn't. I was just a rotten Pentecostal kid. That's all I was. My wife, she has never tasted a cigarette, a sip of alcohol in her life. And I used to say to her, how in the world did you ever get through it without it? It's hard for me to understand that she was raised in a church where every week her parents took her to church. It didn't matter if it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if they had a revival meeting for a week or two back then, they were in church. Her daddy raised her that way. And you want to know something? Because of it, both her brothers, one's a deacon in the church, another one's a great, has a great testimony of Vietnam experience where he came through, and her sisters in the church. And they're all, and most of her family, uncles and cousins are connected to the church. How come? Because there was preachers like Brother Spina, who was her pastor, Harley Olson, who was her pastor, and I could go down the list of men, Brother Eitzen, who was her pastor, for numbers of years. You wonder why that church was known in the community in central Wisconsin? It's because there was men who preached the Pentecostal message. Can you say amen? And let us never be ashamed of it. The Pentecostal message. The full gospel. I don't want to get in trouble with the Lord, do you? If somebody don't like it, I always say is, there must be another congregation for you. And we love you here, and you can come back anytime, and you can fellowship with us. But if you think for a minute you're going to change the Bible and rip this out and say it's not for today, you are wrong. This is correct. Can you say praise the Lord? This is what we need today, is the gifts of the Holy Ghost in operation in our midst. And we need to know without a doubt in our mind that God wants us to get filled with the Spirit. But sometimes people get in the way. I said people. I didn't say the Lord. Now, we're going to talk about some things. Now, if you were taking a note there, you might want to write some of these notes. I saw on your bulletin you have some note areas. You can put this down. Number one, the need is outstanding for the church to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. The need is outstanding. Folks, let's not just take it for granted that once we might have flown in the gifts. How about now? You say, oh, but I can remember when people laid prostrate before the Lord. I could still see my grandmother. My grandfather was one of the men who began our assembly out in Pennsylvania. And what he was a drunken coal miner. But somewhere down the line, a preacher came out of the city of Scranton and came into that section of the community, and his wife played a, what do you call those squeeze boxes? Oh, that's the word. And they began to sing under the only street light in that area of that town. And my grandfather, being a coal miner after work, was in one of the local taverns. But when they heard what was going on, he went out on the stoop of that bar to listen to the message and the singing, and something gripped his heart right there. And the preacher said, we're going to be having a service tonight in a little church up the road, not even a quarter mile away. And my grandfather made his way to that church, and that night he gave his life to Christ. He went home a changed man, set free from alcohol and tobacco the same night. Told my grandmother what happened. She got all the kids, which my mother was included, down to that church the next day, and they were all saved and brought into the kingdom right that very day. And that was the beginning of the Assembly of God in our church. But you could say, oh, what a great thing that he was a deacon for 25 years, taught the Sunday school, was the pastor's right-hand man back there, did what he could do. But we can't use the accolades of man to say, that's great. How about now? How about the next generation? How about the generation to follow? My son called me this week on the telephone. And I was in my office, and he said to me, Dad, I have something to tell you. Well, what is it, Levi? He says, Dad, they asked me in church last Sunday, and he said to me, Dad, they asked me to teach the Sunday school class for the young adults for this coming Sunday. He never taught before, you know. Oh, he testifies. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, but he says, the only thing he's good is barking out an order. And boy, if you saw him, you'd snap to attention real quick. You don't even think twice. You just do it. But he's not one of these mean devil dogs. He's just a common, ordinary guy. He doesn't like to throw his weight around, push his weight around. He just, like, he was telling me about this new regiment came in, these new, all these privates and PFCs. I said, Levi, what does PFC mean? It's perfect for cleaning. Woo, that's nice. He said he had his green khaki t-shirt on, was doing some work, and one of those new recruits yelled over and said, hey, you, get over here. We need your help. He just smiled and went over to him. Hey, you, corporal. Yes, sir. He said, I want to tell you something there, private. He said, you're lucky you told it to me. Don't you ever say things like that around here. He says, you would have got some other corporal. He would have taken you behind closed doors. You would have been pushing up until the next morning and sit-ups until you couldn't even think straight anymore. He says, but I'm not into that power game. Just watch what you say to whoever you say it to. Yes, sir. Folks, we're in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord says, when I give the order, you do it. It's time to listen to what the Lord says. We are in need of the gifts in operation today. Not 5 years from now, not 10 years from now. We're in need of it today. Secondly, today's church might ask, why should I or how can I be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The excuses for not allowing the gifts to be in operation in the life of Christians might be as follows. Number one, there's not much understanding about the gifts. You might be here tonight. You say, I don't understand not one thing you're talking about, Brother Joe. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what to think about. You're talking about gifts. What gifts? We just read them here for yourself. You should go home tonight, read the whole 12th chapter, read the whole 14th chapter, look it over, study. If you have any questions, talk to your pastor. He'll definitely be the one that you'd want to talk to. Because, folks, we need to have an understanding about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I said to Levi, I said, they want you to teach the class. Is that right? Yes, Dad. I said, how many's in that class? It's a large class. I said, what are you going to do? He says, Dad, I've watched you all my life. If I don't know how to do something like you do, he says, then I'm lost and I'm sunk. I've watched you and Greg. That was one of his Sunday school teachers. He says, I certainly can get up there and do, and if I can, I'll just snort, bark, and yell and jump and let. And they'll think I'm mightily anointed. Oh, hallelujah. I heard a preacher one time say, I was at a minister's convention. He got up there to sing a group, and he said he was in one church and things weren't even happening. He tried. The singing group tried. These brothers were on the platform. He said, but you know, God did an amazing thing that night. He grabbed the mic, and as he was singing, his tongue touched the microphone, the bare microphone, and there was a little zap that happened. In fact, he yelled out, he barked, he jumped, he shouted, and people thought the anointing was on him so greatly that they were running to the altar to get saved. You know, if that's what it takes, Lord, let it happen. Amen? Some people can't tell what's real, what isn't. We better be used by the Lord in the right areas. Now, here's another thing you might say. I don't want to bring attention to myself because I'm shy. I'm quiet. I'm reserved. I don't want it to be the flesh. I was telling you about my grandmother. When the Spirit of God used to come down in the midst of that congregation, my grandmother and my mother were the quietest, meekest women you have ever probably met. My wife can tell you that for a fact. Little women, Swiss and Welsh women. Don't ask me where Burstowski came from because I'll have to go into some long explanation. But these women were quiet. And in church, as many times I would sit by them in church and I'd see my mother's hand perhaps get that high and just worship the Lord so quietly. And my grandmother would. But oh, when the Holy Ghost and the power came down, I would see the altar area with people slain out, kneeling before the Lord, and all of a sudden, you'd hear a shriek in church from the back end of that church. It would be my grandmother who had always wore her hair in that old-fashioned Pentecostal doodad. Don't even ask me how it was ever done. It must have been done by mirrors from every angle. But how every bobby pin was correctly involved, and that's the only hair comb I ever seen her have. And the old bobby bins would flip out. I would see her raise her hands and begin to dance and shriek and go down with her eyes closed, running down the front of that church to where the altar is and never touch or step on one person. You say, how in the world could that be? It's called the Holy Ghost. It's called God. You say, you know, you couldn't even try that. In fact, if I wanted to do that, I'm sure I would have probably stepped on many of them and they would have grabbed me and tossed me out the back door. But it would have never happened that way. But when my grandmother got touched by God, everybody in that church knew it. Oh, how she loved the Lord and loved her Jesus. Because it was a Pentecostal church and people knew that church. My wife's home church, as I was telling you about, the old church before they built the brand new, beautiful church on Oshkosh Street in Ripon, we were on the old church on State Street, where after one of the pastors built that church, every Sunday night her grandfather would come to the altar and pray for that church services. And I wanted you to know something. In that day when my wife was a girl, like some of pastor's little girl, and she grew up, when her grandfather prayed and touched God, you could hear him. They didn't have air conditioning then, and houses were real close to the church, across the street, next door. There wasn't big parking lots like we have now, but that church, you could hear Brother Carl praying down the block, two blocks away. Oh, God! Send revival to this town. People would say, oh, please, can't that guy shut up? Can't he close the window? That's what drew people in from everywhere. They used to stand there just to watch in that old-fashioned windows of that Pentecostal church. Folks, are we ashamed of the Holy Spirit? Or do we want it to come and flow in our lives today? Are you quiet? Are you reserved? Are you shy? The answer might be yes, but can God use shyness? Could God use quiet people? Could God possibly use you here? You say, but I would be almost out of my mind if I was ever asked by the Lord to give a message in tongues or an interpretation or a word of prophecy. That's just three vocal gifts. What about the other six? You see, we always think the person who gives the message in tongues is the most spiritual person in the church, and that might be the farthest thing from reality. Amen. I have had people in churches where I pastored who gave messages in tongues and gave an interpretation, and then people, you would say, why in the world would God choose them? It's because, number one, they were open. And they wanted the flow of the Holy Spirit to edify the body of Christ to come in. And then there was others who are never used in those gifts. But you want to know something? They're just as spiritual as the one who does it. So if you're here tonight, you say, well, I just don't think I have it in me, or I can't do it, and I'm afraid of it, and I just don't understand about it. And if you're not using those gifts, I guess God must think I'm not spiritual enough for it. That's a lie. Because you are spiritual. You're as spiritual as you can ever be, because Christ Jesus is the one who gets the glory. Can you say praise God? Oh, hallelujah. This is something that I was challenged when I was in Bible school, as the Lord called me to preach the gospel. And as I went to Bible college, this was the main thrust of that first year in Bible school, was to be a man or woman who would be filled by the Holy Ghost and be used in the gifts of the Spirit. This was my prayer, as I used to go to the prayer room and lay before the Lord early in the morning. My wife and I, after we met, we were always, you're patting yourself up. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, I wanted a girl when I married to be a girl in the prayer room. I just didn't want her at the fellowship hall to meet me to have a hamburger together. Anybody could fill that mode. If she couldn't pray, if she couldn't stand before the Lord, then it really was not the woman for me, because God said, you will preach my gospel, and the mate I give you will be the one that will bless you. She has for over 27 years. We've known each other for 30. And I almost lost her a year ago when the doctors told me she has cancer. And that, she can tell you the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. But I want you to know something. She's completely cured. And God has touched her. And yes, God did use doctors, but God did bring us to a church where the power of God was so real at that altar. You can feel the hairs on the back of your head stand still as we stood at that altar in that Assembly of God church. The power, and I knew then God has taken care of it all. See, how can you preach healings, and how can the devil would say, you might as well give it up, Joe, because your wife's terminal, or you've got a problem bigger than you can ever face. And that stayed in my mind, and I told her, I'll quit my preaching now if that's it. She says, don't you quit. This is just the beginning. And we held on together through those many months. And God brought us through victoriously. Can you say praise the Lord? And I thank God for the miracle that God gave me through my wife. It's drawn us closer than ever before. It's real, folks, when you stand on the promises of God. I couldn't preach it today if I didn't believe it and mean it in my heart. And if any of you women want to talk to her later what kind of cancer she had, be free to do it. There might be somebody in here tonight facing that kind of problem. My wife would like to pray with you, perhaps after the service. Yes, are you spiritual or not spiritual? Number three, do you want the Lord's church to move forward? Do you want do you really want the Lord's church to move, or do you just want this to be a happy place? If you want a happy place, let's all go to McDonald's and just get a happy meal. I want a church where I can go to a church, and when I'm sorrowful and when I'm hurting and when I'm going through the problems of this life, there can be a brother or sister that can put their arm around me and pray for me at the old altar and pray me through. That's the kind of pastor I had when I got saved. A man who prayed with us, who loved us, and our youth pastor. When we had many problems to face, he didn't say, "Boy, you slipped many times, Joe. You just better give up and quit here." No, he'd take us aside and say, "Come on, pal, we're going to go through this thing together." And he'd pray with us in the Holy Spirit and lay hands on us and pray in tongues till the Spirit of God got a hold of our lives and things were loosed by the power of God. Yes, we want the church to move forward. We had one of the largest youth groups in northeastern Pennsylvania in our church. And over 30 youth in within a 10-year period went into the ministry. God did a great, marvelous thing out of that church. Many are preaching the gospel today. Some are in foreign soils. Some are pastors or pastors' wives. But they felt a call in that old church where the power of God moved. My sister is a full-time evangelist on the East Coast, preaching. One of the only single women. You say, single there? That's right. She doesn't have a husband. Never had a husband. She's 37 years old. A pretty little blonde. But you know, God called her when she, at that church and at them youth camps, and she gave her life, and you out of here, she has more bookings than me. I said, "That ain't right, God. I'm the older brother." And by the way, I always tell her when I'm out there and preaching in one of the churches where she's, I said, when she was pastoring in a church as the youth pastor, I said, "Don't worry about Gail. She's only preaching my top 10 sermons that I get rid of." Oh, years ago, she came to one of the churches where I was pastoring, and she was only about 10 years old. She used to wear this little t-shirt on it that said, "What you see is what you get." Blonde his hair, just like the pastor's little boy. And after church, I was shaking hands with people, and I noticed she was acting up a little bit. So I wanted to show her my authority in that church. And I said, "Now, Gail, you got to settle down right now. Don't forget where you're at." She looked at me, and she says, "I want to tell you something, Joey. You may be the pastor of this church, but to me, you're just my brother." My dad was sitting there. "Dad, when I get her back at the parsonage tonight, there might be a funeral. That little rascal, I'll make sure she listens to me from now on." Now she's preaching the gospel all up and down the East Coast, from Virginia to Maine. God has done great things through her ministry, and I thank God for it. Folks, let's be, you say, "Well, I thought you had to be married to do things like that." Don't ever believe it. If God has played his hand upon you as a single woman or as a young man, you can do great things for the Lord. Don't let anybody ever tell you you can't do it for God. Who are you believing? Are you believing Jesus, or are you going to believe the lies that some people can push your way? God can do great things through your life. And finally, the Lord has the right gift for you to use for his glory. For his glory. A man was walking to work one day, and he dropped his lunch bucket that had his lunch in it, and all popped the sandwich, and the lunch meat fell on the ground, and he kind of kicked it to the side, and that was picked up whatever was there else, and off he went to work. And the robin was up in the tree watching all this. And he swooped down and got himself a nice, delicious meal. He was chirping so wildly that the neighborhood cat in the other yard heard what was going on. And he creeped up behind the bush and pounced on that robin. And that was his lunch for that day. And there's a moral to that story, and that is this. Don't open your mouth when you're full of baloney. And some of you here might be filled with some baloney in your mind about the gifts or about what God wants to do in your heart. And you've been listening to the wrong voice. But I'm here to tell you, there's a right voice, there's a right way, and the Holy Spirit is for today. And young people and adults, I'm here to challenge you tonight and say to you in this closing meeting that God wants to fill you and your life and this church and this surrounding area with a great Pentecostal work where people will come here and sense the power of God as they've never felt before. How many here want to see a church like that? How many here want to say, Lord, I want to be used in the gifts of the Holy Ghost? You say, but I don't know what God wants to fill me with or how he wants to do it. But if you will say tonight, as we will in just a few minutes, Lord, whatever one of those gifts you want to give to me and use in my life, whether it be a vocal gift or whether it be one of those other gifts that is not readily seen, I want to use it. Many times the Lord gives me a discernment in a service on a platform about a meeting or a need out in the audience. And sometimes people say, how in the world? Who's talking to him? Who's telling him those things? Where is he here? He must have talked to the pastor before that service, because there's no way that in the world he could have ever known that. And that's far from the truth, because I don't like to talk to the pastor about anybody in church who has an ailment or a problem, because when the Lord starts to use a gift through my life and I have to call somebody, I don't want somebody to say, well, he's heard it from somebody. And it's not that way at all. Just a few months ago, we were in a church in southern Wisconsin, and the Lord spoke to me in there in a Sunday morning service. And I said, Lord, it's hard for me to say that. And he said, say it. And I told him, I said, there is somebody in the service today. This is your last chance to get saved. This is it. If you walk out of the door today, you'll be lost. And you say, oh boy, what the world? As soon as I gave that appeal, this young man of 19 years old ran to the altar with tears streaming on his face and told me after we prayed, and others came up to just to rededicate their life. But this was the guy that the Lord was saying. This was it. And he told me, he says, this very day I was thinking about taking my life. He would have been lost. But God used a gift of the Holy Ghost in operation to bring him and his life to Jesus Christ. And I've talked to that pastor since that meeting. And he says, you just wouldn't believe the transformation that took place in that young man's life. Because of that, he has brought in friends and family members. And the Lord just done a wonderful thing. All because I just wanted to give God the glory to say, Lord, you know who the need is. About a month ago, we were in a service, or a little bit longer than a month ago, my wife and I, and the Lord told me there's a person, I was on this side of the church, that had excruciating back pain that ran across her back, down her right leg into this area. And I just explained what the Lord showed me and told me. And this woman came down to the front, and as soon as we laid hands on her, she was slain out in the Holy Ghost. Afterward, she had told me she was a dental assistant in this city and said, I was going to have to give up my practice because I no longer could stand with the dentist to give assistance to any of the patients that came in because the pain was so great, and God healed her in that service. Just like that, you say, how does that happen? Well, I'll tell you just a piece of the testimony in my life before I give this altar call. When my wife and I was called to go into evangelism over 2 years ago, the Lord's been speaking to me about 5 years ago about this, and I wrestled with this and I waited on God. And finally, we were telling our daughter, honey, God's calling us to leave this church. We're going to be leaving here. And our son went through high school there in Lake Geneva. And I was telling her, she finally gave it over to her mother. And she finally said, we were trying to get her prepared a year in advance for what was. And she finally looked at us one day and said, Dad, if you're going to do it, do it. I did it. And it was that sudden change. We left the church. We went back to Ripon. Moved back to Ripon all our belongings. And her uncle came up to me a few weeks after we were there and says, Joe, I already have a ticket bought for you to go with me and a busload of people from mid-central Wisconsin. You're going with me to a crusade. He said, I want you to go with me to Benny Hinn's meetings. I heard of Benny Hinn. I've known of his ministry. I said, I'll go, Uncle Daniel. If this is it, he said, Pastor Dyke's going. You're all paid for, you two guys. Went to St. Louis, Missouri at the Kiel Auditorium. And as I got off the bus there, it was a hot summer day, well over 100 degrees. The lines stood way on the block. I thought to myself, how is all these people just coming to hear this guy? I said, this can't be. I went across the street, found the police department because it was AC, and I went in there and stood there for a while. It was so hot. The doors, you had to wait in line. Then I got a pencil and paper, and I found a postcard, and I began to write my son a note. He was in the military, and I was looking down the street, and people were going by. I says, is that place open yet? Nope, they're still in line. I'd sit under the tree, write him a little note, and talk to him about what's going on down here. And then I'd say, is the line open? It's starting to go in now. I'd wait another 10, 15 minutes, and then I finally went down there, and I got right in the building. I want you to hear what happened. As I got into that auditorium, there was 19,000 people in the building. As I found the place where we were, they began to sing the songs, the glory to Jesus, and some of those old hymns that you sang here. And the Spirit began to move there. And then Benny Hinn came out, and he just said a few things, and the power of God was beginning to sweep there. Nothing really ordinary happened in that night service. It was just a great meeting. People went up and gave their testimony how God healed them. And if you've ever seen Benny Hinn's meetings, you've seen many people slain out. I thought, that's great, Lord. I believe that all the way. The next day we went, and it was for Pastor's Day in the afternoon. And I thought as I sat there must have been about 12,000 in that afternoon service. At night, they always had between 18 and 20. There in that meeting, Benny Hinn called all ministers to come forward, or evangelists or whatever. And the Lord, like a bolt, charged me to go down that aisle. First, I said, no, I can't. I said, I believe that. He said, you get down there. You need this. So I made my way to the front. The place was mobbed by preachers. Some of them went up on the platform, and Benny Hinn prayed for them. And they were slain out and drawn to the side, and others would come out. And it was getting to the place where it was just too crowded now. And I thought for a moment, I says, well, that's it. That's at least I'm here. And the power of God began to come in like a wave. That's all I could say it was. And Benny Hinn looked at all the ministers and says, I'm just going to wave my hand. Put your right hand up. If you want God to challenge you and fill you to a new dimension. And God said to me, you're going to be praying for the sick around the state of Wisconsin and some of the local neighboring states. He said, you get your hand up right now. And as soon as I put my hand up, it was just like I literally put my finger in a light socket. That's all I could explain it as. And a bolt of power went through me. And the power of God came. I just can't hardly stand it. After I left there, I went back to the room, and Brother Dyke and I was talking about what had taken place. And he was one of the pastors that even got up on the front and was slain on that platform. I was asking him how he felt. I told him what happened to me, and I went back on that bus back to Waupun, Wisconsin. And really, the bus was coming out of Fond du Lac. We had a service on that bus where God came down. And her uncle looked at me and said, you're the guy we want to preach the sermon to us. And you know, it was many people that never got to go up on stage or got to be healed that day at Benny Hinn's. But in that bus meeting, there was a number of people who got healed right there. And God said, it will begin right today. And there's hardly ever been a service where Glory and I has been where I haven't seen somebody either been saved or healed or delivered or filled with the Spirit. in some area or receive the gifts in their life. And folks, I am not here to accolade myself, edify myself, give you some kind of a mirage or I'm on some platform. I don't commit myself as some great spiritual man. All as I did was obey Jesus. And the Holy Spirit revolutionized my life in that meeting. And I can't give anybody praise but God. And I will say tonight that if you're here and you want a new dimension in your life where the power of God will touch you in these gifts or in some other area of ministry, I'm going to challenge us in just a minute, in just a few minutes, to come to the front and receive whatever gift or whatever transformation that you need, whether it be a healing, to be set free, or to be a greater testimony you've ever been before, and it can happen. As our sister comes now to the piano, we're going to sing a song, and then we're going to dedicate ourselves once again at this altar. Because I believe, folks, great things happen at the altar of God. I'm sorry to tell you, I can't say that about every church. I am glad to say that this church, I sense a very much openness when it comes to altar area and with the young people and with the adults. In some churches, I would literally love to drag people by their hair down to the front of that altar and say, you better had straightened up or you might as well throw the name Ichabod on this church because the glory has probably departed. But God has given you one more chance to get your life in line with the Holy Spirit. And I think he wants this church to be an outstanding testimony. In this part of the state of Wisconsin, you don't have to be a large church. All you have to be is an open church. An open vessel. Where the Holy Spirit could come and fill us. I don't know if you know that song, sister, if you could find it. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength. And thy power come in thy own special way. Everybody stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to tell you, I preached for years. I believe I've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost for years as a pastor. But that one Benny Hinn, I don't care if you don't like him or not. That's all right. You can have your own idea. I'm not saying he's the greatest guy to ever walk the face of this earth as an event. I'm just saying that God uses the man. And I was touched at that altar. And I haven't been the same since. God wants to touch you. God, through his Holy Spirit, is calling you. Hey, your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. I don't want anybody looking around. And the Holy Ghost is speaking now to you and saying, my son, my daughter, I want you to surrender more of your life to me. I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm not saying you're not a good person. I'm not saying you're not an outstanding member of this church. You're probably one and all of the above. But Jesus is saying to you tonight, I want to use you greater than you've ever been used before. I want to touch you. I want to minister through you. I want my Holy Spirit to fill you to overflowing. Would you say yes to him? Would you come and say, Master, touch me. Change me. Help me. Come, Holy Spirit. I need you. Sing it to him now. Come, sweet Spirit. I pray, come in your strength and your power. Oh, hallelujah, yes. Come in your own special We're going to sing it one more time. I'm going to ask that everybody in this church, unless you have to leave the auditorium because you have to use a restroom or it is an emergency of some way that you have to leave and go home, please make your way to the front of this altar tonight. If there's not enough room, come in three deep or stand in the first row if you have to. But I want us as a church tonight to pray for one another and allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come on us afresh and get a hold of God. Would you do that with me? Everybody singing, and let's come to the front. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Sing it to him now. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come on now. Come in your strength and your power. Oh, let's sing it to the Lord. Come in your own special way. Everybody sing it. Your hand is raised to the King. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Tell them you need them right now. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Strength and your power. Oh, come in your own special way. Now let's just get serious with God now and tell him, come on, Lord, touch my life one more time. Fill me to overflowing. Fill me to, Lord, that I be used in gifts, in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, in the gifts of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I'm going to pray and believe that, God, you're going to lay your hand on a number of people here tonight, and they're going to be filled. And God, you're going to begin to motivate and move in their lives for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, come up here. Let's pray. Get the anointing bottle. Let's go down the aisle and touch each one tonight, that they'd be recipients of a great move of the Holy Spirit. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to raise your hands when we come and pray for you and surrender to Jesus and say, God, I just want to be what Jesus wants me to be. I want to be used. I want to be filled. I want to be overflowed with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Let's pray and believe together. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place, omnipotent Father of mercy and grace. Oh, hallelujah. Let him touch you with his breath. Let him blow through this place. Do it as unto the Lord. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Now sing it personal to the Lord. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in my heart. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in my heart. Omnipotent Father of mercy.
hallelujah to his name. Flow through us tonight, Lord. Flow through us. Flow through us. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Master. Oh, glory. It's great to just wait in his presence. Let him deal with your heart. Let him speak to your heart and your mind. Sometimes we rush and we go and we leave, and God said, I'm not done yet. I just want to be touched. I just want to begin to work a great thing in your life. Let's not get anxious. Hey, if anybody's anxious, it should be me. I've got the 4-hour trip tonight, not you. And I ain't worrying about going, are you? This is God's time. This is God's time, I said. And he just wants to move in your life. Hallelujah. I sense there's somebody here just struggling with such a problem of unbelief. It seems like you say, I do love God, and I know you do. But you know, the devil is trying to tell you it's foolishness to try to live like this. You know, you almost feel like saying, I'm going to give it up. Nobody else knows about it, but I just feel like quitting. Nobody else knows my mind. I almost feel like leaving the church. You feel like telling the pastor, I love you, pastor, but I just feel like a hypocrite. I just feel like giving it all up and just cashing in and saying, that's it. I might as well go out and live for the devil because I can't do it. That's right. You can't do it in yourself. You need to surrender it to God. And I'm speaking this tonight to a young man in here. God's telling me to say it to you, young man. You think you can make it and you feel like giving it up? God's saying to you, you need to surrender more your life. And then you're going to see the glory of God come upon you as you've never seen it before. Hallelujah. I don't know which one he is, but it's right over here. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the thought that Satan would like to sift them. I rebuke the thought that the devil would like to make this young man quit and make him give up, because that's a lie from the pit. You love him. You have chosen him to go forth in your name. Now in the name of Jesus, touch him, Lord, his mind tonight. Give him peace. Give him rest over doubt. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. How many here believes that God is in control? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just say yes, I believe tonight. Yes, Lord, I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to say no to the enemy and to the devil. I want to be surrendered. Surrendered for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you don't believe that the devil could try to distract you, let me tell you something. As I said, my daughter was planning to go to Bible school for years, but the last year, in the senior year of her high school, she got confused over some things. She came to her mother and I said, Mom, I'm not going off to Bible school. I'm joining up with the University of Wisconsin in Stevens Point, and I feel like I'm just going to go that route. And mother came to me and I said to her, going down the road, you know, I could put my foot down and tell her that God, and I'm not going to let her do this, and that be it. But her mother looked at me, my wife, and says, let's just pray and believe together over this. We prayed and believed, and 2 months later, I was preaching in southern Wisconsin, and she was back in Ripon because she loves the youth group. And that morning, the power of the Holy Spirit came down in the congregation, and she went up the front and asked Jim Motley, my brother-in-law, for a special prayer because God was touching her and saying, Rebecca, you're to go to Bible school and not the University of Wisconsin. And that very day when we came home, she was electrified. with the news that God had once again spoke to her and said, this is where you're supposed to go. Now, I could have blown the whole deal and got angry as a father and said, I have the authority to tell you this, but I'm glad Jesus took care of it all. Jesus still takes care of it. That's why I rest tonight in that. Yes, I miss my children. Both of them are over 1,000 miles away, 2,000 for the son. But you know what? I'd rather them in the will of God serving the Lord than if they were to be in the local area not doing the thing they should be doing. That's the important thing, to leave them in the hands of the Lord. And God has shown my wife and I, when we do that, He'll be honored. Hallelujah. Some of you here might be struggling with things that you have to do, where you're going to go, what's going to happen. Did you ask Jesus to help you? Did you ask the Lord to give you the right mind? Did you ask the Holy Spirit to give you direction? Well, I want you to do that tonight before we close. I want you to raise your hand to the Lord, your right hand up to Jesus right now. And I want you to tell Him, Lord, I'm just going to surrender to You. I'm going to give it to You, Lord. I know the devil is trying to confuse me. I know the enemy is trying to say, you might as well give it up, but that is not the route to go. Jesus said, you're going to follow Him, and you're going to be taught the right way, and the Holy Spirit is going to give you the leading and the guidance. Can you say amen? And you're going to stand on the Word tonight. You're going to stand on the Word. And when we leave this place, you're going to remember what some of you prayed at this altar. And down the road, pastor's going to get a touch with me somewhere and saying, I want to tell you, Brother Joe, God, by His Holy Spirit, done some work at the altars that day when you were here. And I want to testify while some of them young people are on fire for God more than ever before. And those young adults, they're seeing great things. And God is moving them on into great areas in their life. I want to believe with you for that. I want to pray with you for that. I want to thank God with you together. Jesus, I thank You right now for what You've done in this church today. I thank You, Lord, for the sweet spirit that we've experienced. How people have been open. How God, through His Holy Spirit, just came and ministered to us. And how You've challenged us, Lord, to go on with You. I pray for each young adult, every teenager, mom and dad, senior citizen, grandparent, whomever, young child, I pray that the Holy Spirit would envelop each one of them and they would be used for the glory of God. Let something great, let some great things come out of this meeting, Lord, down the road where Jesus Christ and His glory would be reflected in each life. And we'll testify of it together. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Take somebody's hand next to you right now at the altar. Take somebody's hand. If you're a little shy, if you don't want to take that girl's hand, or that's just find somebody else you feel comfortable with, and just reach over and grab her hand. This isn't a proposal or nothing. You're just praying with them. Amen. You're just praying with them right now. You can say, Lord, bless them. Pray for that one next to you tonight. They need special prayer. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know how the enemy's come against them. Some decisions they got to make. I want you to pray for them right now. Pray for that one. You don't even know who they are. You might know something about, but you don't know a lot about them. Pray that the Holy Spirit would fill them and give them the leading and the guiding direction that they have. In the name of Jesus, pray right now and believe for them right now. Oh, let's believe together right now. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Oh, when we pray together, when we believe together, you know what happens? Great things in the Lord take place. Great things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Pastor, I'm going to call you back. You can dismiss how you feel. People, I always like the pastor to dismiss the meetings. I feel down the line, Pastor, if somewhere down the line we could come back this way and minister again to this fine congregation that you have. You know, at one church I said after the meeting, I said, I don't know, they had a McDonald's in here. I said, let's all raid it at McDonald's. And man, about 60 people hit that McDonald's. They were going nuts. I don't know, we don't have McDonald's in this town, but there we go. We got Quick Trip around here. We all could run off to Eau Claire or something. I'm going that way anyway. Bless the Lord, Pastor. Thank you for your kindness, your wife, your lovely congregation here, your deacon board. I want you to raise your hand, stretch it out to Pastor right now as we pray. That God would help him as he leads this church, as he leads this congregation to new heights. Give him the direction, Lord. Give him the help. Oh, Lord, bless his wife as she's about, Lord, to give delivery in a few months down the road. Bless their family as you have already. I thank you for a man of God like this who will stand up in a community and stand up to his peers and stand up to his section and say he believes in the Pentecostal way and is a man that has a heart after God. Use him as he goes forth. May many souls be won and saved in this church. May many families be added to this congregation. May they see such a need they won't even be able to hold all the people that come to this church, that they'll have to go out and build a new church. Bless the board in their decisions they make with Pastor. And God, we thank you for what we're going to hear down the road in time of great and mighty things that have come out of Wilson Calvary Assembly. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we recognize tonight that the gift to the church is the gift of evangelists.
Jesus.
And Lord, we thank you for calling this precious couple into the evangelistic field. And thank you for the gift that they are to the body of Christ. And we thank you that for the gift that they have been to us here today. And Lord, we pray that you would bless them, that they would not lack one thing. Lord, as they have stepped out in faith to take on this ministry, Lord, we pray that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that they would not be able to contain. And we pray, Lord, that wherever they go, they would see souls saved. They would see people healed. They would see people baptized in the Holy Spirit. They would see lives dedicated and rededicated to God. That backsliders would find their way home again. Prodigal sons and daughters would return to the Father's house. Lord, may they just be an instrument of your choosing, an instrument in your hands. Continue to anoint the message that goes forth from them. Anoint and bless. And Lord, may their fruit be multiplied, even a hundredfold. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wonder if we could sing that chorus. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Without, because it ends, without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. This will be our closing song. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
Our sweet expression.
And that was for the old timers. The young people don't know that one. They might have to learn. That was for you old timers. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thanks for coming.
Amen.